Welcome to Cinnamon Scribbles.
Oh, now it works. The crud.
Oh, I think I... Does it work like a water hose? Like when you stand on the wire, the water pools up behind it?
That's not how sound works. That's not even close to how sound works. Holy crap.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't even know how to respond to that. Welcome to Sibling Scribbles, a sibling podcast about the creative process. My name is John.
And my name is Optimus Prime. Welcome to an episode of Creative Corner.
My name is Optimus Prime, and I'm going to help you go to sleep.
Oh my gosh. I would listen to that, though.
I would too. That'd be so funny. Harry Styles. I would.
Oh my god.
My name is Harry Styles.
My name is Optimus Prime, and I'm going to help you fall asleep with my...
You're worth it.
All I need is Optimus Prime to tell me I did good today.
I'm proud of you, Baron.
One time, quick tangent before we get started on Creative Corner. One time we're on the plane.
Tangent, if we haven't gone anywhere yet.
Great point. This is now the main tangent. This is now the main line. We were on a plane and Marin and I were sitting there. Marin really loves Winnie the Pooh. I don't remember how old you were, but you had a Winnie the Pooh stuffed animal.
Yeah, I traveled with him everywhere.
Right. And I... was like, oh, you really love Winnie the Pooh? Like, do you wish Winnie the Pooh could talk to you? You were like, yeah, I totally do. And so I grabbed Winnie the Pooh, like, around, like, the scruff of the neck, and I moved his head while I did the worst Winnie the Pooh impression I've ever done in my life, where I was like, oh, I love you, Marin. You're the best. And you started crying.
Oh, my gosh.
On his, like, hand on my heart, tears down your face. You were crying as Winnie the Pooh just addressed you by name and said that he loved you. And that was it.
Yeah. I don't remember that, but that's very funny.
It was. I think about that a lot. I was like, that wasn't even a good Winnie the Pooh impression.
It's like that one guy on YouTube, and he makes the Winnie the Pooh things where, like, Winnie the Pooh keeps, like, being given responsibility.
Yeah, it's Ubus Goobus. Yeah, something Goobus.
He's like, I don't know how to run a store.
I don't know how to run a country.
I just like honey.
I just like honey.
Creative Corner is episodes that we do where we actually kind of dive into some of the projects and stories that we have kind of on the back burners. They're normally not stories that we plan on really doing a ton with, but they are stories that we want to work on, and this is time that we meet for podcasts, so we figured we might as well work on projects. And hey, if you want to try to steal these ideas, they're not going to be good when you do it. These are our ideas,
and if they are good, we still win, because then we get good entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. We're happy that you just made something cool. Best case scenario, you make something good and we get to watch an awesome version of an idea that we had.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, you make something bad and we get to accuse you of plagiarism.
Yeah.
And either way, that's good marketing.
Win-win.
Right? It's a win-win. But let's be real. Imposter Syndrome Bear is right. There's no way that you can make something as good as us. Imposter Syndrome Bear. The worst of all the Care Bears.
Give in to Imposter Syndrome Bear.
Surrender to Imposter Syndrome Bear.
He has his cold hand clenched over your heart.
Good grief.
Today we're talking about fairies. So I've pitched this before, and we thought that we would kind of get into it a little bit, because this story needs to be gutted. And the best way to do that is talking with someone who you can trust with your vulnerabilities. This is John.
You can't trust me, but I'm her only option.
My husband's still asleep. So today we're going to be talking about...
We have to let's sync it up. Ready?
Oh, I haven't recorded yet.
Oh.
Oh, it's pink now. 1 second.
I do not know what's up with the sound. If the sound comes out super goofy for this episode, I apologize. It is my fault.
Today we're talking about fairies. So the idea, we'll kind of do a repitch right now. The idea is that fairies are typically these really pretty things. They're, you know, cute little fae, and They always have pointy hair and little cute noses, and they wear flower petals and berries as hats, right? But I was thinking about it, and I was like, okay, but flowers die after like a day of not being in water, and like a flower petal will like wither before your very eyes, you know? And so I'm like, that doesn't seem very logical to wear. I mean, if you, I mean, you can say that the pixie dust, you know, preserves the things. You're like, yeah, sure, okay. Boo. But that would take a lot of extra dust, right? You would have to be completely surrounded by it.
You basically would like have to take in dust every single day just so that your clothes wouldn't fall off your body.
Yeah. So I thought they would have to be wearing like leathers and furs, but that would mean they would have to be hunting animals. And then it's like, what if there were hunter-gatherer fairies? So there are sweet little fairies that, you know, have animal friends, but then there are also fairies that hunt said friends. Well, I guess they would be friends, but they hunt them, and they would gather these things to have kind of a little civilization. So that's where the story kind of comes together. That's the basis.
The seed, the story seed.
Right.
I remember you pitching this idea to me back in Texas when mm-hmm. we lived there. It was right outside La Sentara, right next to the dentist. There's a little lake where there's ducks, and we used to walk around this lake just to get, you know, just to get out of the house or just, again, get some exercise. Let's walk around the lake.
Right.
And you pitched this idea to me, and I loved it because I am a not-so-secret fan of the Pixie Hollow Tinkerbell movies. Surprisingly good.
They're so good.
Surprisingly good. Have you watched The Never Beast?
Mm-hmm.
Never Beast is really good. I really like that. There was like an MMO that existed for a while. You can find that on Steam. You can like buy that game and play like the...
What?
You customize your own pixie and you go around doing mini games and stuff. Do you remember playing that?
Oh, Pixie Hollow?
Yeah, Pixie Hollow.
Yeah.
Like a game. That's like, you can buy that on Steam and just like play it by yourself.
I thought that they canceled it.
It is, yeah, but you can like...
Oh, now you can play it by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, right? Yeah.
That's bad information for me to have. That is what I'm going to spend the rest of my day doing.
Teehee. But I really liked the idea of fairies, but I felt like the Tinkerbell movies always came up short because they wanted to appeal to 5-year-old girls. Mm-hmm. And I was a teenage boy. And so...
With a sister who liked movies for 5-year-old girls.
Right. Right. And so, not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. But what it was, like, look, the Pixie Hollow movies and the Barbie movies are excellent, period. So what we want to do today is we want to flesh out this story idea.
To make it not just for 5-year-old girls, but making it kind of interesting because having a fairy that, fairies are kind of an unexplored race, I feel like, besides Peter Pan and Pixie Hollow. I feel like there's no other IPs really that focus on fairies.
I'm sure that there is, but all the stuff that I do see is they focus on the very fae elements of it. They go mm-hmm. all the way back to the original fairies. So the fairies are like tricksters and pranksters, and they make you make, you know, wacky promises, and they turn your head into a donkey head, right? Like,
right. They like go, Shakespearean.
Yes.
Fairies.
Yes. Or, yeah. 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 Sure. But just for simplicity, yes. And so I think that's fine. I like that. I do like these original, like, fairy tales, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Pixie Hollow actually does things to improve those ideas a lot, right? Originally, fairies didn't have little insect wings. I've watched like a whole video essay on the evolution of fairies and how we eventually arrived at fae smut books, right?
Yes.
Which are really popular right now. But all those books
are Tinkerbell.
All those books are just about people who wish they could date Legolas. You can fight me on that. You want to date Legolas?
I do want to date Legolas.
This isn't about you. Oh. This is. So you get your iPad out. I'm sitting way too close to put the iPad in between us. Visually, this is going to be, we're still figuring out how to make these work.
Great.
Are you recording?
Ready, set.
Okay.
So We're going to call this Faye for now. Because I don't really have another name for it.
This is the idea that you pitched to me.
Oh, yes. So this is the idea. We're going to kind of from the setting to the conflict, right? The setting is a normal forest.
Mm-hmm.
On either side of this forest, so we have normal forest.
And then on either side, there is a light fairy world and a dark fairy world. Is that correct?
Right. So it kind of... So in here, it's dark magic, but not dark magic where it's like everything is evil, but kind of like this is the kind of fairy tale setting where the witch lives and there's tangled trees and the magic is all purple and green.
Right. And they do have people make, you know, wishes that, you know, bite them in the butt. And
right. Like kind of the drow forest.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So kind of like the body forest.
All right. And well, then, this was a great episode.
You can find Sibling Scribbles. So then we have the normal forest, and the normal forest is just like a human forest that we have now, right?
Yeah.
So natural order of eat or be eaten.
Is there magic in the normal forest?
No.
Okay, so this is just magicless wilderness.
Right, so magic.
You got it, yeah. And then the good fairies is Pixie Hollow. Right.
This is just Pixie Hollow.
It's just Pixie Hollow.
Where you can wear flowers. How wow. Hollow.
Pixie Hollow.
You want to go to Pixie Hollow with me?
Hey, baddie fairy.
Stop. Sea swench.
Sea swench.
Maybe.
It's been a while since I've been called a wench.
Maybe we'll do it like this. Okay, so these are our three areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one, two.
So here's our setting seed.
Three. This is our setting. Our home girl lives here in the normal forest. She's a hunter-gatherer fairy. She doesn't have magic, and so her wings don't work.
Right. So she's essentially just a Minish, right? Like from the Minish Cap Zelda. Did you ever play that? She's just a small person.
Yes.
She's just a small person.
She has wings, but they don't work.
Right.
Then we have... this color. Then we have our love interest and conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Person. This is kind of a buddy. What's it called? A buddy?
Like a buddy love story?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That
is from Save the Cat. Save the Cat has a ton of different kind of stories that this is. Buddy love stories are not always like a love story, but it's about two people learning to get along. So it's buddy cops falling in love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning to appreciate the other side kind of people.
So he's here in Dark Fairyland.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the magic starts running out.
Right.
So we're talking like wicked kind of vibe. So the animals are turning normal. So instead of them...
Oh, so the Dark Fairy Forest is becoming the normal fairy forest.
Right. Which is bad.
Right, of course, yeah.
Because instead of being like, oh, I'll trade you unicorn hair for 5 acorns to trade,
sure.
You know, they just eat you. So he is on his way to Pixie Hollow to talk to the queen and talk to the Wizard of Oz, if you will, mm-hmm. and say, hey, we're running out of magic. What's wrong with the tree? So he comes through the normal forest. He sees the camp.
Mm-hmm.
In the normal forest and is like, oh my gosh, this is really like good stuff that I can grab. I've got a long journey ahead of me. I can't use all my magic because I'm almost out.
Mm-hmm.
So he runs into Faye. Faye and him get in a big fight, and then he realizes she doesn't have magic and is like, hey, you should come to the fairy with me.
Right.
And then they go on a journey together. I don't know if they go through the dark fairy forest again or if they just travel through the normal forest and then to Pixie Hollow.
Okay, so that's kind of as far as the story has gone.
Right. Kind of the different things that I've thought of are like maybe they show up and all of the Pixie Hollow fairies are actually jerks. And I'm like, that's not super interesting for the people with all the magic. They're actually jerks. It's like
that's kind of overdone.
It's kind of boring.
Okay. So my first thought is, why is Faye the main character?
Because I don't know.
Because it sounds to me like this dark fairy, we need a name for him. Bruce. It's a placeholder.
All I can think of is from Matilda.
Yeah.
Eating the chocolate cake.
Bruce. Brucey. Let's call him we need to know what his story is, right?
Right.
So
he's a drow fairy and she's a dragonfly fairy. So
dragonfly
fairies are descended from dragons.
Fun.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, in magic world, you can be like, well, the dragon met the fey queen, and that's where dragonflies were born.
Oh, jeez.
Right? You know, some weird Greek mythology crap, right?
Yeah.
Anything happens in the fey forest. So she's a dragonfly fairy, so she has kind of like snake eye.
Oh, maybe she has like compound eyes.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture.
My reason for asking that question is one of the biggest issues with storytelling is not knowing who your protagonist is, right? It's choosing the wrong protagonist. It kind of sounds like this drow guy is the one who is experiencing the core conflict first. You know, the Faye isn't experiencing the core conflict. She is living her life without mm-hmm. magic, doesn't care about getting magic. It's not like she's banished from Fairy Hollow or anything. And so, no. Or Pixie Hollow. But if she is banished, then that is a story that we can tell, right? Because the story starts with her being banished and wanting to come back. And this is a story about her surviving. But if this is a story about the magic leaving, right? If this is a story about the magic dying, then it kind of sounds like the drow, our dark elf character, mm-hmm. is the main character. Right, because he's the one who has the inciting incident happen to him. Right, the inciting incident is magic is leaving, and
right.
so he's the one who has to go out and find, solve the problem.
Right, it'd be interesting if, because I always thought like his entire like fairy clan, like they all got eaten by like crows.
Oh my gosh,
and ravens. You know.
Oh my gosh,
they are insects.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's why he's like, maybe he didn't fight and he ran.
Oh, maybe he's a coward. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's fun.
Coward with magic. And she's like, I can do anything
without magic. She does make an excellent, the two characters have a great dynamic.
Right.
But why would she want magic? Right, here's the question, right? Like, why does she mm-hmm. want the magic in her life? Because if she's fine with living without it, there's no reason to go visit the wizard.
The thing is, we don't really know where she's from. Like, we don't know her family, her different...
Right, so she's living on her own.
Right, so it's like, we don't really...
So let's decide that.
Okay, so Faye, we're gonna... I'm just gonna do a little character sheet for Faye. Which is a placeholder name.
Mm-hmm.
Something else. That cannot
be. Faye and Midnight Boy.
Oh, glory.
Midnight Boy and Faye traveling to the Feywild. Yeah. The transition.
Okay, so Faye.
Fui. She misspelled Faye. It was very funny.
No, it didn't. Shut up. Okay. So Faye, she is dragonfly fairy.
Okay. So why does so why is she living by herself? And why does she want magic? Because stories about magic dying and magic leaving is it's very fairy, right? Fairies are all about the magic in the world.
They all need magic.
Right, they need the magic in the world. And so when the magic, you know, modernization or mm-hmm. because people are growing up, that's normally what kills the magic.
Right.
For these nations, these fairy nations. What is the, is that the story that we want to tell? Are we telling the story about the death of magic?
I don't know, because I don't quite like magic being completely gone. I think magic's important. You know, even in the magicless wilderness, it's important because it's like hope. It's, you know, more than what we can do by ourselves.
So in the magicless wilderness, it's it sounds like the magic mm-hmm. is faith, right? The magic is hope. The magic is miracles. The magic is the hand of God in people's lives.
Okay.
Right? That's kind of what it sounds like you're saying to me, right?
Is that could be one direction we go.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then this story is the story about reigniting faith, mm-hmm. right? The story is about having hope. It's about fighting through disaster, and it is a golden fleece story. I am going to gather my team together, and we're all going to travel into the wilderness, and we're going to find the thing that will fix all my problems, except it doesn't, right? The thing doesn't fix all your problems. You fix all your problems, right? And the magic only acts in your life when you have the faith for the magic to work.
Right.
So that is one direction to go. That is not very traditional fairy. It's not very traditional fae at all.
One idea is that maybe she is the dragonfly fairies are an extinct race, and she's the last dragonfly fairy.
Sure.
And maybe fairies have inherent biological properties. Or sure. something like that, based on who they're descended from.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Greek mythology wise.
Okay.
So maybe it's about community. And so when they show up at Fairy Hollow, they are like, that's why we don't have magic, is because we need all of the candy from all of the candy kingdoms to be put on the candy altar.
This
is a Candyland reference.
This is if you haven't watched Candyland, this is pretty confusing.
It's a good movie.
It's shockingly good, yeah, actually.
And the song,
it's good if you're a child.
The licorice song is so good.
Bad guy songs. We love our villain songs.
He's like skipping around. Licorice here, licorice there.
Licorice is great. I don't know why he was the villain. I love licorice.
Black licorice is pretty gross.
Black licorice is an abomination. Yeah, you're right. But okay, so this story is about, if the story is like a love story, if the mm-hmm. story is about rejoining society, then these dark fairies and this dragonfly fairy have been like banished, right? Or they have self-banished, right? That they have left for a reason. They have mm-hmm. chosen to leave because they don't want to be a part of this fairy society for whatever reason.
Right.
If that's the case, this is a very, these characters are going to kind of be jerks for a while until they're good, until they like realize that there's almost a redemption arc for the two of them.
It could be that their ancestors also left.
We're starting to get into messy race territory. Right, like this, it's a good conversation to have. It's a really good conversation to have, but it is a conversation that is had at very very delicate, you know, necessity.
Yeah, but or salad. I don't think it would have.
If only we didn't care. I think that it's a good idea. I think mm-hmm. that it's a really good idea. I think that it's an awesome epic fantasy story, right? This is the difference between like Rohan and Gondor, right? This is the mm-hmm. difference between the like North and South Water Tribe, right? This is a real interesting story to be told about community and culture. But is that the scope of the story that we want to tell?
Right. Maybe.
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 If this is kind of an epic story, then we go for that, right? Then this is a story about humanity, right? All of us being under the same umbrella of faith and brotherhood.
Right. The bad guy isn't a person, though.
Right. There's not a named antagonist.
Right.
So what is keeping our main characters from rejoining fairy society?
I don't know. That's what we have to figure out.
Yeah, me neither. So we'll see you guys next week when we figure that out. Holy cow.
Time for a little Jamba Juice break.
We're just going to sit on this one for a little bit. So this is tough, right? We've reached a point where we have a few characters that we don't want to change.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a world that we don't want to change.
Right.
But we don't quite know where to go with what we have.
Right.
So we either need to change the world or we need to change the characters. Right. Those are our options.
Right.
Because the conflict that we've decided on is finding the magic again. We're not going to have them show up at Teferi Hollow and there is no magic. Right. The story isn't about like self-reliance and actually you don't need magic for your life to work. Mm. Right. It's like, no. We want the magic. Magic's good. We love magic.
Right.
So.
And showing up at Pixie Hollow is third act. It's not.
Right. Yes.
It's not like, oh, we show up at the beginning and then we learn there.
No,
throughout
it. So the story is a epic quest.
Finding the magic.
To find the magic again in their lives. Then we need a character who represents that magic. That's the thing, is that right now we have some characters who are just like, well, we need magic to survive, so we're going to go to the city. And, oh, look, the city's here. And you know what? I guess we'll just live here, right? Like, that's not great. So what I'm hearing is that they need a fairy. We need a new character who is from Pixie Hollow, who says, oh, you have all these problems? Well, geez, you can just come with me and we're going to go find, we just go home to my magic home. Come on, everyone. Right? Like that's the...
Right. Like the little dog in Puss in Boots.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a character who represents that possibility for them. How do you feel about that?
I like it, but I think I would rather merge that character into
Faye.
Into the Bruce character.
Oh, into the dark elf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because he's completely irresponsible, completely cowardice. And so he's like, oh, well, we can't fix our own problems. So let's go to the Magic Kingdom. And
so he's kind of a con artist. He's a little bit of a con artist.
Mm.
He's a little bit of a little bit of a. So the dark fairies left. So let's define something then. So this is now we're talking about the magic system, right? Because the light fairies have magic and it's good magic and it's hooray, like it works the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But dark magic sounds like it has nothing to do with it has nothing to do with fairy dust. Dark magic is perhaps made through deals. Perhaps it's made through like sacrifices of some sort. So what happens is that in his dark forest, his cons and his deals aren't working anymore, right? It is a quick solution to his problems, right? He's using an easier magic that has a greater consequence on himself and the people around him, but it's gaining him the things that he wants. And so he realizes at one point, right, because maybe the crows massacre his family, right?
That's to be ravens, more poetic.
The ravens are, nevermore. Hashtag nevermore.
Oh, God.
My heart goes out to all those cops listening. Oh. My heart. So maybe this, so what I'm hearing is that he has lived a life of debauchery. Right. Mm-hmm. He has lived a life where he has taken all of his fairy magic and he has used it for exponential gains in his life. And now he's finally realizing, oh, dark magic actually does kind of like it ruins your life, right?
Right.
Or at the very least, it's not working anymore, mm-hmm. right? I don't know if we want, if the magic's not dying in fairyland and in fairytopia, then I don't think that it should be dying in the dark woods either, right? Maybe everyone's just getting wise to him, so they're not making deals with him anymore. So it's not that the magic is dying, it's that no one wants to talk to fairies or deal with fairies, or like essentially it's just not happening.
Kind of the idea was that like they were running out of magic because like that's the farthest woods from.
Oh, okay.
Right. So it's running out slowly.
Right. So there was magic that they brought with them, or they had a way of generating magic, and now that is no longer a possibility.
Right.
Right. They had a magic pixie dust tree or something out there, and it got cut down because someone got pissed at them.
So, oh maybe he, I don't know. Kind of in a similar light to Neverworld. Maybe he got the tree burned down or something like that.
That's a good inciting incident. That's a pretty good inciting incident.
Because he's made too many deals. Like,
yeah, here we go.
He's been so skeezy mm-hmm. that he can't keep all of the lies straight.
Right. And so people finally get wise and they burn down his magic pixie dust tree. And so he's out of magic.
And his entire community is out of magic.
Right. Like Remy. It's Ratatouille.
I love that movie.
His name is now Remy. It's not Bruce. So.
I'm going to look up names while we talk.
I'm going to look up names for him. So his character now has to. Is this also the. This is another story as well. He's kicked out of his community. Is this ant story, Bug Life? I think this might be Bug's Life. So here he is. That's the worst name generator in the world. I hate that.
Cocoa
so much.
Beach Breath.
And we're done with that.
Bumble Palm Light. Flax Better Sage.
No, no.
Firo.
I cannot stand.
Ginkgo.
Ginkgo.
Ginkgo is on here twice. Yeah.
It is. Look at that. So. Here he is. He has to go. He caused the problem. His community is going to run out of magic. He has now been sent out of the, you know, banished from dark fairyland to go out into the world and find more magic for his community to survive.
So his whole thing is dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
That's fun. I like that.
That's an AC/DC song. Oh. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
I know that. I know that.
I love that song because I imagine the whole thing is sung by Muppets.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And then
they have that like body like
thunder cheap. And then there's one part and it goes. Dirty deeds and they're done dirt cheap. And then this other, I put my hand up and then Carrie goes, because that's a part of the song.
He makes the sound with his mouth, yeah.
Right. And I'm like, this is perfect.
It's so Muppet.
This is a Muppet short.
I saw some bit, TikTok with like, okay, Guns N' Roses. We have decided on name. We've decided on. Like guitarist and drummer, we just need someone to be the lead vocalist. And then it cuts to another dude and he goes, I don't know, guys, it could be any one of us.
L. Guns N' Roses L.
Big Guns N' Roses L. I love Guns N' Roses. They're my favorite. But so we have a character who now has a real motivation.
Yeah.
And he goes out into the world and we're going to... So now we've kind of pivoted away from buddy cop mm-hmm. movie a little bit. We have a very different character now,
mm-hmm.
right? This guy, he's still a trickster, prankster, moody, dark boy. Ooh, maybe I won't say that. He is... He is still a trickster.
You can't snap your way out of everything.
I can
John.
Too. I'm the editor.
Mabel, edit.
Great show. I'm doing it. So he is a moody trickster, dark elf character, and he is still going to the Pixie Hollow to steal magic, I'm assuming, for his community.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, cool. I came up with that just now. So he's not actually planning on going there for good reasons. And our main, our Faye, who is now our co-main character, she joins his crew because he runs into her, and she is, she also wants her magic back, right?
Well, she's like, I've never even thought of what the option would be. You know, he kind of pitches it to her of being like,
yeah, the con, pitches the con.
Right. And she's like, actually, that might not be too bad.
That sounds pretty good. So then we have, okay, so that's only two characters.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have two characters going on an adventure together. Do we want to add anyone else to this fellowship?
I was thinking that they could have like a mouse buddy, but they're giant because they're fairies.
So the crocodile from Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
We need an animal companion.
All good stories have an animal companion. Who are you supposed to talk to when you have exposition?
Other characters.
No.
Maybe. Is this animal companion already her friend? Like, so she has kind of an animal, like they have like a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. Right.
She's got like a squirrel that she rides into battle, or like a crow that she rides into battle with.
No birds.
Cause birds eat insects.
Birds eat insects.
Got it. Birds are evil.
Until we get into the magic place.
And then birds are cool.
And then birds are the wise owl of the library.
Oh, yes.
And the
magic actually makes everyone live symbiotically. Like, right. everyone's cool.
Literally in ornithology, you couldn't think of a single other bird besides a yellow warbler.
Well, that's in the story now. That's canon.
There's all these yellow warblers flying around.
Friggin' warblers. Maybe a bug? Maybe another bug.
Like a ladybug. Some cute.
Yeah. I was going to say a spider.
What's wrong with you?
I like spiders.
No. Maybe.
Maybe he has a spider and she has a ladybug.
Maybe. He's like, we should keep this one.
Well, I was thinking maybe they have insect companions, right? Maybe that's like something that like fairies have, right? Fairies are like connected to this side of the world. Like they have these insect companions. We're getting too deep into this. Okay, so now we are looking at a very different story.
Yep.
Is the ending of the story that they stay? Or is the ending of the story, do they get there? Because if he has this community that he has to go back to, is the story actually going to be about him going back to his community and choosing to leave, or going back to his community and convincing them to come with him? Is it him learning lessons along the way and then coming home and saying, actually, guys, we were making decisions that are horrible, right? Like the goodness in the world is beautiful and you guys suck. Right. And we should be better.
That could be good.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just like him being like, there's more. Like kind of Flynn Rider-y of being like, yeah. There's love.
Oh, okay.
This is a love buddy cop.
That's true. Okay. So if that's the case, then I think that it would be kind of funny to have a few antagonists.
Like maybe he's getting hunted.
Maybe he's being hunted. Maybe there are some crows that are kind of messing with him. Maybe there are there needs to be like people along the journey who are trying to stop him. Maybe it's a pixie, like a light fairy cop who he originally stole from, or who originally, you know, who is following him around because he's like, oh, this guy doesn't deserve to have the a good ending, right? Like, maybe I don't want to like jump right on the Flynn writer and say, oh, maybe two of the other dark fairies are angry with him and they've been sent off to follow him and to
it wouldn't
prank
be
him.
Fairies. It's got to be like other cool creatures.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
because
like
we've already have tons of fairies in this.
Right. Like, I mean, it could be like a mushroom with a sword. You know, like he comes from the dark.
That's so awesome. Forest, I love that so much. You looked at me like you were worried that I wasn't going to like that. I love that so much.
Yeah. So like it could, and like a bird, you know, it could be a creepy looking bird.
Are there any birds that have like symbiotic relationships with like bugs or?
No, but there's a lot of really cool birds.
Oh no. Ornithology. Bird watchers are weird.
Shut up.
They are.
Look at this one. It's called the
green swallow. Ooh. Oh, that's cool. Is it like a villain though? That's just kind of a cool bird.
It's
I don't know
so
if that's
pretty.
Like it's not like a villain. It's just kind of a cool bird.
Okay, we'll look up villain birds.
Villain birds. It's a grackle. It's a vulture.
Can't be a vulture. Vultures are way too big.
Oh.
Oh.
You're right.
All right.
Lots of options.
Lots of weird.
plenty of options. My question is, what about Faye changes Sterling's mind?
We could do an Eastern Kingbird.
And why does Sterling need him? Why does Faye need him to get into the fairy kingdom?
Eastern Kingbird. Like, I don't care. You're like, talk about the story.
You just like birds. I like mushroom with a sword.
That's our one.
Maybe it's impossible to get back to Fairytopia without some kind of magic. So Faye still needs Sterling to get in, right? She's never tried to do it herself because it's impossible. But if Sterling does it, then she can get into Fairytopia.
And he needs her as cover.
Right, because he can't do crap on his own.
Right, and if he runs out of magic.
Yeah, he's kind of done for.
Right. Like, so, she can survive off the land.
Right. So is that the thing that endears her to him, right? That he has kind of always taken the easy way out, that he's always using magic to kind of cut corners.
Right. She's going to be the Tiana, and he's going to be the Prince Naveen.
But I think it's also kind of important to note that she needs to bring him something that makes him realize the final message of the story, which is, the world is actually beautiful and full of magic. And when you do take things the right way, when you do approach things the right way, when you're not trying to cut corners and swindle and you're trying to build community and be friendly, mm-hmm. that actually does make life better for you, right? That is a better way of life than his con man ways.
Yeah, maybe she, like, even though she lives in not magic part of the forest, like there's still some creatures who are magical that like kind of lean into it. And so she's made relationships with them of being like, I have a garden and I will trade you, you know, stuff for your dead relatives, you know, or to make furs out of, or like you can get a pie, you get those berries and I can.
So she's kind of a community leader of these animals, is that these animals still think like animals, but she's able to communicate with them and she's able to think in a large scale perspective. That's very different from the hunter warrior character that she originally was.
Mm-hmm.
Does she still get to be a hunter warrior character?
I think so.
Okay.
Because they're traveling through the natural forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're also trying to fight against the dark forest characters.
Right.
And he is completely helpless to that. So he is a swindler.
Yeah, he's a fast talker. He's a...
He destroyed his home.
High charisma, high intelligence. You got to talk right into it. You got to point it at you.
Oh my gosh. I don't want to breathe into.
Yeah, just like that. That's good.
Gross.
Maybe it's a witch. Maybe the witch that he originally swindled, who burns down his tree, continues to follow him through, like, warging into other things. So she'll, like connect her mind to some birds and follow him around and chase him around as birds. And then she'll connect her mind into mushrooms and control a little mushroom army to chase him. And she becomes kind of this, like, complication throughout his journey, where every time, you know, something looks like it's about to go right, she wargs into one of the ladybugs, and the ladybug, you know, messes up his big plan, and the whole thing falls apart.
Right,
she's just this constant little nuisance messing with him throughout the whole story.
That would be good, except that she's just big. Like, she could just show up at Pixie Hollow and, you know, burn that tree down too.
Unless she likes the pixies at Pixie Hollow.
Maybe she's a good witch.
Maybe she's a good witch who just got just really fed up with the dark fairies.
Yeah.
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 It's not like she hates fairies. She just hates that fairy. She doesn't even stick around to, like, pick on his friends and family. Right? She burns down their house and then she's like, forget those guys. I just hate you.
Right. And everyone's like, yeah, I think that's good.
That's kind of funny.
So is she like an old witch, or is she like a young witch?
That would be kind of interesting. If she was a young witch who maybe made a deal with him so that she could, like, go on a date or something or look really pretty, and instead she makes a deal with him to say, I want him to see me as a witch and to understand that, because I know that he loves me, but I want him to see me and understand, like, I'm a witch and that's okay. And instead he casts the spell, he makes the deal with her, and he sees her, and Sterling makes the deal with the witch, and the witch's boyfriend sees her as an ugly hag witch, and she's like, oh, you messed with the wrong.
I just wanted a boyfriend.
and of course Sterling is like, hee hee, I got the magic I needed for my family. And this witch is like, oh. And so she just, like, furiously destroys, like, it chases after him for the rest of the story.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Until eventually, it's like he comes to realize that she is also someone that he can respect and he can understand. He's like, oh, you're also, like, a witch. You are kind of the leader of this community. You are kind of the mediator of magic in your community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can understand and I can respect you, even if we're different and even if you are, you know, even if you do hate me.
Plus, we can pull in those other magical characters, because, like, we have this fairy story, and it's like, we can make it really fun. I'm watching Delicious in Dungeons right now, and what is so fun about it is that they take a super creative spin on the D&D world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a way, because, I've heard and I have played and I have seen a lot of D&D. And none of it is in that show.
Yeah.
And I am like, this is so fun and creative, and, like, always catching you off guard, being like, this world is cool.
Yeah.
I like the magic. So this is cool.
I like this a lot, because we're still keeping fairies, and we're still keeping witches, and we're still keeping, you know, animal friends and things, but we're not telling a story that is directly magic is dying, or hot fairies, or, like, we're taking the ideas from fairy stories and we're kind of evolving them into something new. Mm-hmm. We're not, and that's kind of what happens in Delicious in Dungeon. This is, like, a real, like, genre remix more than it is a, like, retelling inside the same world.
Right.
And we keep saying Pixie Hollow and Fairytopia, but we're not writing, like, a fan fiction for these places. We've come up with our own original world that is simply inspired by those places.
Right.
I think we've only got about 5 minutes left. I want to hit on a few things.
Okay.
One, the pixies in the light fairyland who are living in harmony, and they live with the magic of friendship and of faith and of miracles, right? To us, we're talking spiritually, right? Because that's how we see it.
Right.
But they are living, you know, in this paradise of fairies.
They live in Florida.
Do they care that he's there to steal the pixie dust?
I would think so.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's trying to steal the pixie dust. At this point, I think he's trying to get a seed to grow like a tree.
Okay. I like that. I like that. It's more
and
of
that's like super magic illegal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I like that.
But they don't realize that. They're like, whoa, he's so nice. And
right. And he's going to betray them too. That's rough. Is he going to betray the main? Is he going to betray Faye?
He's got to
betray Faye at some point. Okay.
Right.
Okay. For the Dark Knight of the Soul. Yeah.
Right. But he's going to have a moment of, you know, like they all have, you know, a big feast together and it's so wonderful and they have a great time. And then that night, maybe one of his old buddies shows up.
Oh.
At the party. And he's like, so, are we going to do this? And he was like, I wasn't, but now I can't go chicken.
Right.
Or something like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I like the idea of, so the fairies in Fairytopia know that this community has like broken off and gone into the dark woods. It's not just him.
And they've always been like, oh, dark fairies are like cool. They're kind of sketchy and they don't use the same magic as we do. But they're fine. A little scary.
I have a counter proposal.
Okay.
What if the dark fairies live there super normally?
What if they're in
Fairytopia, mm-hmm. in friggin' Pixie Hollow? What if they are just a subterranean fairy? And so he shows up kind of thinking, like, is his community, have they been gone for a while? Right, they've been out in the wilderness and the dark forest like for a while. Is that what they, because if they've only left Fairytopia in the last like 5, 10, 15 years, right?
I would say a while.
Okay, so like generations.
Right, I would say like dark fae.
Sure.
Versus light fae.
Right, right. So this is a generational thing, a generational divide.
Mm-hmm.
It might be kind of a surprise if he shows up in Pixie Hollow and there are dark fairies living there happily.
And he's like, huh?
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, man. Like, we.
It's great here.
It's fantastic here, actually. Like,
have some of the normal magic.
Yeah. Like, this is great.
So maybe,
like, they appreciate our differences in our culture. Like, we have cool things that we bring from the places that we've been out to. But, like, our community is dying out there, and we are going to, so we brought our community here and we've been welcomed and we've been accepted and we are like, it's good, right? Like that's a good thing, because right. that might really challenge his view on what's actually happening. That might really challenge him. And the reason I bring this up, the reason I ask this is because, first of all, just some world building. Second of all, I think that it's important that our main character in our audience realize that it's kind of silly what they're doing out there, right? It's kind of silly that their whole community is based on this magic that is like harming people and causing conflict. Mm-hmm. And like, why make yourself an enemy?
Right.
You know?
I'm gonna put the witch's hut in here.
Nice. Like that's kind of my.
Yeah, maybe.
maybe it'd be kind of cool to see a light fairy out in the wilderness not being good, and they're not accepted into their community because they're also using evil magic, right? See, we're starting to ask the question, like, how do we challenge this guy's idea that it's better to live out in the dreary wilderness than it is to live in the utopia community?
Right. How do we show that? Or...
Right, that's the question. Like, how do we do that, right? That's kind of... How do we take this guy who's out there who says, I want to go back to that? How does he go on this adventure and slowly have it proven to him that he doesn't want to go back to that?
So, you know, in Pixie Hollow, how they all have a thing, like the water fairies and the sun fairies. What if the dark fairies are just moon fairies at the Fairy Hollow? And the people who, they like came from the dark forest and they came here and they're like, actually, when we just use pure pixie dust, then we are just moon fairies and we do just the night magic instead of dark magic. So that's kind of a change of the magic system a little bit.
That's okay. So yeah, it's, but they like tend to the night.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, like they would, you know, be in charge of the nocturnal animals. And
yeah, the firefly shepherds.
Right.
And yeah, okay.
And they do different things like that versus the people who live in the, or the fairies that live in the dark forest where it's moon magic, but they've mixed it with kind of like trickery. And
they're using it. They're using the moon magic.
Like witchcraft.
For themselves, right? It's just selfish, right? They're using the moon magic, but instead of using it to make the stars come out at night or to, you know, paint the stars on the night sky or to move the moon through the sky or to shepherd fireflies, whatever. Instead, they're using those same powers that we see him using throughout. Instead, they're using the good powers for selfish purposes. And so...
So, like, instead of moving the stars, he's actually creating
illusions. Right, to trick people. And so now we have a magic system that needs fleshing out for the purposes of the story. And it can be a lot more... that can be as simple as it is, right? Is that, you know, are the stars and a moon an illusion? No, it is just... the light that was always there that they are making available and showing everybody. So basically the moon fairies are sun fairies, right? They are just using their magic. Or the moon fairies in Pixie Hollow, like they have a responsibility. And these dark fairies are just moon fairies that have broken off and are using their powers irresponsibly.
Right. And we would have to flesh the system out a little bit more and I think focus more on... what the Pixie Hollow place is, just so it doesn't seem like a fanfic. Like, oh, you're adding a fairy. It's like, no. There's other things happening. And we've got a lot of other magic creatures and things going on.
Maybe the magic isn't like dust. Maybe it's a waterfall where you go and collect the water from the magic spring. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's...
like the fairy fountain. From Zelda.
Or maybe it is a maybe it's a cave full of stones, right? And so everyone has like magic stones that they keep on them. Maybe it is like an Yggdrasil magic, like world tree kind of thing where they live. And so, but the magic that every person uses is a little different, and so they have a different cost and source to their magic. Lots of different things. Lots of different things we could play with just to kind of give the fairies a bit more of an identity.
A new spin on it and to make them interesting. And we could come up with more things than just like, the life fairies, the animal fairy, the tinkerer fairies.
Right, yeah. Right. There's lots and lots of options. Mm-hmm. Lots of ways we can kind of, because I'll say it again. I friggin' loved Tinkerbell.
I love them.
Fairy Hollow, Pixie Hollow, that's it. I love Pixie Hollow because I think it is a really cool world and it has a lot of fun characters.
It just wasn't pushed.
It needed that push it through. Right, but it could just be like wind and fire and or sun, like, you know, very, very simple things. Or they could be like concepts, right? Like this is a virtue fairy. This fairy is a, like, there's all kinds of ways that we can take these ideas of fairies that are the shepherds and kind of like paragons, mm-hmm. of these concepts, and we can take those things and we can give them new concepts to be in charge of.
Like how Fae is descended from dragons, we could have other mythical,
yes.
monsters and creatures as, yes. the descendants of these fairies.
Precisely.
I like
because that. Fairies originally, and you can see this still with like the Japanese yokai and the, mm-hmm. where the fairies were kind of treated like pagan gods, right? They were small gods. And they were in charge. Like, this is the fairy of the forest. This is the fairy of the coast, right?
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And so, I was like, I haven't heard that before. Right, no, they're I've heard of, that.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, yeah. But like Christians, we've kind of like, we've really scrubbed that crap out. But like,
it's Jesus. Jesus of the coast.
but Lord of the Rings takes pagan ideas and Tolkien called it sanctifying. He took those pagan ideas and he made them into Christian ideas. And we are kind of doing something similar. I don't think that like making a sun fairy is interesting, but making a sun fairy whose whole shtick is actually about truth, right? Like we are the fairies of light, and so we reveal that which is unhidden, mm-hmm. or that which is hidden.
Right.
Making them fairies about individual concepts would be a really fun world building challenge.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be fun to do. But for now, I feel like, how do you feel about this after?
I think it's much more of an interesting story, and like we can have that buddy cop film vibe, yeah. you know, but like there's all of these other conflicts going on, and they're with the witch too.
Yeah.
Like we bring in other magical things, mm-hmm. and we're going to open up fun conflicts happening of being like, uh-oh, all of the fireflies are now on fire because
right. they used the magic wrong. Oh,
right,
no.
Right. Or, you know, like the witch, she... you know, flock of crows come in.
She makes the garden come alive, right? And so suddenly the community of woodland animals have turned on them because the mushrooms have swords.
Right. Oh no.
Right. It is a far more dynamic world, far more dynamic characters. This creative corner did not get half as far as the last one that we did.
Mm-mm.
But I still feel like we put in good work and we gave it a much stronger grounding.
The coolest part about fairies is the world that they live in, because it's a world that has to have a foundation where such a wide variety of one creature can exist. And so that's why we had to focus so much on the world versus yeah. in Circadia, where it was like, it's all about the characters. The world yeah. can kind of just be how it is.
Yeah. I do think that we should add a little bit of magic to Circadia, just a dash. But I don't think that it's going to affect the story that much. The story right. kind of exists already.
Right, like Kiki's Delivery Service. It's like, yeah, there's magic in it, but really it's really not a magical world
no.
that they live in.
No.
Yeah.
But this one is. This is a world where the world greatly affects what the characters are doing and what their goals are and who they are.
Right. Everything that happens is dependent on the magic.
Right. So we needed way more time to work on it. And frankly, we still have a lot more work to do on this, I think, to mm-hmm. really make it feel like its own thing. But that's kind of the fun part of creativity, is that you can put tons of work into something and it doesn't look like it's finished at all. But this is okay.
Yeah.
This is okay.
I really like this world. I think it's much more fun. Before I was like, I don't really know if I want to do a creative corner on Faye's story yeah. because I'm like, it just doesn't feel super interesting. But now I'm like super excited. Like the stone thing you said, like that's cool. Maybe there's gemstones that,
yeah.
you know, are in certain areas of Fairytopia.
Right.
And that's where the base is for each fairy, or, you know, like, all of these different yeah. ideas. I'm like, yeah. this is cool. This is very cool.
I think that the hardest part about creativity is breaking through those first ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I think having first ideas is really great. You've told me this more than anything, which is kill your darlings.
Yeah.
Right. This story, there was a few ideas that we had that we were really married to, and we said, how can we take these ideas, keep the soul of them,
mm-hmm.
while evolving them in a way that makes them like tellable.
Makes them breathe, makes you excited, makes you be like, oh, okay, I gotta go make concept art. Oh, I know I have homework. Wait a second.
Yeah, it takes some time. It takes some time, and it takes a willingness to say, can we change this idea?
Right.
And so I encourage you, like we always do, to go out and create. Good luck. And
with all your ideas, bring it to someone else too. And you might not agree with their ideas, but have an open conversation about it, because that's the best way to kind of workshop these things. Because if you are married to your idea, believe me, the idea isn't married to you.
Yeah, it's not real.
The idea wants to be changed. It wants to develop into something so much better.
Yeah.
But if you're keeping it on a leash, then you are doing everyone a disservice. So it's like, break things down, open them up, and
let the idea evolve. Let the idea grow and breathe. Holy cow, this is beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Thank you. I really like this creative corner. Thank you, John.
Thank you. This was great ideas. Every time I asked a question, every time I pitched an idea to you, you had a new way to spin it, a new way to move with it.
So excited.
A lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Love fairies.
You can find Sibling Scribbles on YouTube, on, eventually TikTok, on Spotify.
This summer.
This summer we'll be on TikTok. But on Spotify, you can find my D&D writing on DriveThruRPG. And you can find Shepherd Called Bales, our webcomic, on shepherdcalledbales.com. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you.
Stay creative.